From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. You are tuned in to the Francesca Luca Show. Oops. Oh, my God. I didn't have the mic in front of me. Is it okay? Yeah? Okay. Should I start over? No. Okay. My web address is talkwithfrancesca.com. And if you missed part of the show, you can hop on over to my iTunes page and listen there. Or you can also listen on Spotify. And I'd love it if you would leave a review and also hit the subscribe button and share the show if you think someone might enjoy it as much as hopefully you do. This portion of the show is sponsored by Stein Masonry Construction, providing high-quality construction and hardscaping services to commercial and residential clients. Their experienced team specializes in a variety of services for your outdoor living. Call them today. You will be glad that you did. All right. Do you feel like you have no control over your impulses? I know sometimes I do. Or do you struggle to wait for the good things and then dive in headfirst, only to realize that you should have been a little bit more patient? Today's guest, Dr. Emilio Justo, might have a way for you to overcome this issue. Dr. Justo escaped Fidel Castro's communist Cuban regime with his family when he was just 3 years old. And now, despite the added trials and challenges of being a refugee, he has become a respected ophthalmologist, ocular, and cosmetic surgeon. And he's written a new book, The Power of Pause. He tells his story and how the ability to delay gratification can help you improve your life personally and professionally. Welcome to you, Dr. Justo. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so very much, Francesca. It's a delight and pleasure to be here. And just a quick correction, if you don't mind, my last name is pronounced Justo. It's Spanish.
Ah,
so the J, okay. The J is pronounced like an H, like Jose.
Yep, Justo.
So
okay,
it's
well,
Emilio
I'm going to.
Justo.
No. Okay, great. Thank you so much for making that correction. All right, then. So, can you share the story of your family's escape from Cuba?
Yes, certainly. I was quite young. I was about 3 and a half, almost 4 years old. And, of course, we were in Fidel's communist regime. It's interesting, when Fidel first took over, he had all the people in the country go to their local bank to turn in their currency for a new currency he had created. My father, who always distrusted Castro, buried his money in the backyard instead. And it turns out later that through the help of a Canadian diplomat that my father had befriended, he was able to use that old valuable currency from the hole in the backyard to purchase tickets on the black market escaping out of Cuba through Mexico. Once in Mexico for about 6 months, back in the 1960s, there were many church organizations that were sponsoring Cuban refugees' entry into the United States. And the church organization that sponsored us had us settle in Gary, Indiana, of all places. You remember Gary, Francesca, mm-hmm. where the Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5
right.
originated from.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
So basically, we settled there. My grandparents came over a few months later. Their church sponsored them, and they settled in a little college town called Tarkio College, Missouri. And my parents made the difficult decision to have me grow up with my grandparents while my parents were getting adjusted to a new country. My father was working 2 full-time jobs. My mother went 3 hours south to Bloomington, Indiana, where Indiana University is, to study all over again,
wow.
even though she had received her doctorate in education in Cuba. But, of course, coming from a communist country, those credentials don't transfer. So it really wasn't until fifth grade that we all reunited back in Indiana. My parents had saved up money. My parents bought a home south of Gary in a town called Crown Point. My mother was now teaching high school. My father could now work one job instead of 2 full-time jobs. And The rest is history, growing up in Crown Point, Indiana.
I'm curious, how old was your mother when she received a doctorate?
She would have been approximately 27, 28.
And how many years ago was that?
Well, we came over in 1965, so it would have been just a few years prior to that.
So that was not usual for a woman in that day to receive her doctorate.
No, that is correct. You're absolutely correct. And furthermore, take it one step further, my mother actually wanted to go into medicine. Can you believe that? She wanted to be a doctor. And because that was not normal, her parents talked her, my grandparents talked her out of doing that. And so instead, she went into education and received her doctorate in education.
So you became the doctor.
Right. Right, right. And it wasn't because they, a lot of people think, did your parents push you and what have you? No, my parents always supported me, and certainly they placed a high emphasis on education, as many immigrant families do.
Mm.
But it just came naturally to me. I always loved science, and I always really thought that I would be a doctor, other than there was a period of time, Francesca, that being a stereotypical Cuban, I was blessed to be very gifted in baseball, and I played a lot of baseball.
Uh-huh.
And I did in high school. I did want at one point to maybe try becoming a professional baseball player, but after seeking counsel with my parents as well as one of their best friends in Indiana, we sat down one weekend and really discussed it very logically, and they made the case that, statistically speaking, the likelihood of me making it big in professional sports was not as high as me being able to achieve academically. So I understood that, and I was a very logical person, and so I decided to take the medicine path.
Do you regret that?
Not at all, not at all. My life has been so blessed, and I've had such a wonderful time. I still am. I just started here just a couple of weeks ago, Francesca. I just started my 36th year of practice, as an ophthalmologist. And as an ophthalmologist, I also do a lot of plastic surgery in addition to cataract surgery. And I've had a wonderful career, and I've helped thousands of patients, and I treat them as an extended part of my family. I've had wonderful staff supporting me, probably a half a dozen of them that have been with me for 25 years. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. In life, we have a lot of choices, just because you don't go down one street doesn't mean that you can't deviate and go down another street and be equally happy. And as I say, I've had a very blessed life, so I have no complaints.
What challenges did you face during the time of your family's escape from Cuba?
Well, the main challenge early on, there's two main challenges, I would say, in my life, but early on, before getting into my professional career. The first challenge, of course, is, being from a different country, not knowing the language, having to learn the language, having a certain level of ridicule from particularly kids who don't know any better, and they make fun of, at the time, my grandparents. Since I was growing up with my grandparents didn't speak a lick of English. And they were a source of ridicule, and secondarily I was as well. But really, as a kid, you just kind of power through. I mean, to me, I didn't, I didn't like it, but I didn't make a big deal of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as I got a little bit older, as a freshman in high school, I had what I consider a true medical crisis. Halfway through my freshman year of high school, Francesca, I had been developing severe, severe acne. I mean, more severe than what you can ever imagine. And ultimately, it got so bad that, no exaggeration, I would be sitting in the classroom with my face draining pus, literally draining pus on my face. And then subsequently, I developed this fever that persisted for over a month. And finally, you know, after, you know, I'd been under the care of a dermatologist for a couple of years, nothing was helping. Finally, I was admitted to Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago at Northwestern University to find out what was causing this fever. You know, and the doctors thought that I had some sort of insidious cancer developing inside of me, and I just didn't know what to think. I'm thinking, man, is this like a slow death? And finally, after several weeks of testing, of scans, of bone marrow biopsies, of everything, it was determined that it was the severe pus pockets in my face that were causing this fever. So ultimately, I ended up spending 2.5 months in the hospital. I ended up having 3 facial surgeries, and I was ultimately discharged home free of fever, but my face scarred forever. And that was a challenging time. You know, I didn't want to miss school. I didn't want to fall a year behind. I didn't know what my future would be. Ultimately, I don't know. I just buckled down. I truly felt a sense of resilience, even while being in hospital and lying in a hospital bed. My parents, one or the other, would make the 1-hour drive back and forth to Crown Point to bring me my homework every day, and I would do the best that I could to complete my homework. And I must say, I had an incredible high school life after that. I was active in sports. I was active in school clubs. And, you know, I was active socially. It didn't inhibit me, even though I had major scars all over my face, which I have to this day. I was still very active, and lo and behold, I ended up being valedictorian of my graduating high school class in this parochial school, Andrean High School. And I say that not to boast about it, but simply to emphasize the power of resilience, hard work, and determination in achieving one's goal. That was really the stepping stone. When I saw that I could do that, I really felt, man, if I can do this, I can accomplish anything that I want.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Francesca Luca Show. I'm speaking with Dr. Emilio Justo. Did I pronounce that right this time?
That was beautiful.
Okay.
Like a true Italian.
And he has written a number one Amazon bestseller, The Power of Pause, Mastering Delayed Gratification for Success, a blueprint for resilience and enduring fulfillment. So let's talk about your book. Oh, okay. Quinn said we need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about your book, The Power of Delayed Gratification. The name of the book, again, is The Power of Pause. So listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of The Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know, Stein Masonry. Family owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? go to locally owned and operated handymanconnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and let me reintroduce my guest, Dr. Emilio Justo. He is the author of The Power of Pause, Mastering Delayed Gratification for Success. Welcome back to you.
Thank you, Francesca. It's a pleasure.
All right, so your book is about the power of delayed gratification, obviously. Is this something that you were taught as a child or something that you learned as you grew up?
Truly, it was just my life. It's not something that I consciously made that decision. You know, being an immigrant to the United States, my parents not having much in the way of material wealth, of course, I just learned to delay that gratification. So it was part of my life. And ultimately, that's, I have what I call, Francesca, my Cuban triad. And it is, number one, self-discipline, number two, resilience, and number three, delayed gratification. And it's always been inside of me on a somewhat subconscious level, but I didn't really talk about it to anyone. And then as I've gotten older and I reflect back on my life, and now that my wife and I have three beautiful teenage children, I started reflecting on it, and I wanted to basically bring this to the surface. First and foremost, I think truly for my children, and then secondly for the world at large. So before writing the book, Francesca, I actually decided to kind of jump into the TEDx world, and I wrote a talk called Delayed Gratification, Your Superpower to Success, which I delivered exactly 1 year ago, August of 2023. Outside of Denver. And because that talk was so well received, it currently has nearly 6.5 million views on YouTube, that I decided, okay, well, we need to expound upon that. And that's really what, pushed me to write the book where I could give stories and really jump into the topic much more in depth than an 11-minute TEDx talk.
How was the power of the pause? How has it the power of pause aided you personally in your life? You could go on for hours, I'm sure, but give us some examples. I mean, I can think of, I'm looking at the back of your book. It says here, visualize something you want to have. Frustrated, then pause. And then it goes on to say that your insights go beyond conventional wisdom, delving into the neurological, psychological, and emotional underpinnings of people's decision-making process. So I am really very curious about how this power of pause has aided, as I said, you personally in your life.
I think instead of just reacting to things straight away and making decisions that may be okay in the short term, but sometimes if one can resist those immediate gratifications and instead just think about it, maybe work hard towards a goal, and then as time goes by, that delayed gratification further down the road, in my view, is typically much greater than the instant gratification that one would have had. And by being greater, it just exponentially augments everything in your life. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, by working towards something, right? One example I use that's near and dear to me are my kids, right? So let's say our oldest boy, wants a car. Well, it'd be very easy for me to just buy him a car, and then he would be happy. He would have some instant gratification, and that's all fine and dandy. And I know that a lot of parents do that, and that's okay. That's their choice. I respect that. But if you pause and just explain, look, if you get a job, you work, you save, and save enough to have a down payment and get your own car, mm-hmm. it's going to mean so much more to you. The taste of that car is going to be so much sweeter. You're going to really appreciate it because it's been your sweat equity, your blood, sweat, and tears that acquired that car. And then you'll really be even more proud of it. Not that you wouldn't have been if I gave it to you. But so in life, I really feel that today's society, with the social media and the technology that, you and I didn't grow up with, now we're all used to just instant gratification. We want everything now. Right. And we think that everyone can just be successful in a heartbeat. We see these social media posts and people become envious and they want it now, rather than just taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and really setting specific goals, writing out those goals, making sure that your goals are large enough. I think one of the mistakes that many of us, including myself, have made is that sometimes we don't set goals that are high enough. I think they need to be high enough, still attainable, but make them big goals. But then along the way, you're going to reach smaller goals. And then as you reach those smaller goals, you should celebrate those victories. Mm-hmm. Reward yourself with something small, which then internalizes that feeling of achievement so that you can then keep striving for that bigger goal. Because it's all a journey, right? You're not going to a destination. It's all about enjoying the journey ahead.
Great. So your book sounds like it's more than about delaying gratification for, like business and success. But I'm curious here because it says that you delve into the neurological, psychological, and emotional underpinnings of people's decision-making process. What does that mean?
Yeah, so there's a certain emotion and a certain psychology. It's pretty much kind of what we've been talking about, that you get that dopamine rush when you get that instant gratification, right? I mean, we all get it. We all have it. And it's not to say that one can't ever have instant gratification. Please don't mistake me saying that instant gratification is necessarily wrong all the time. The point is simply that by, resisting some of that instant gratification and letting your mind work towards something bigger, breaking free of some of those addictions. For example, we talked about the social media addictions, the digital addictions, and really kind of retraining your mind to just slow down, pause, think about things. So something that you may want to have immediately today that you have an urge to acquire, as an example, if you just stop and not purchase it right now, and then you give yourself just a week to think about it, you'll notice that 99% of the time a week later when you think about it again, that urge has diminished dramatically. So what you think you need today may not really be truly what you need. You just have to give your mind, your brain, your emotions a chance to unwind and think about it for a while before making that final decision.
Do you ever think being impulsive ever works? I'm just thinking about one time in my life when I was, I don't know if I would call it impulsive. I was working in a dating service for 8 years, and they had sold the company, and it just seemed that I had a lot of freedom, and I was very successful in my job, and this new owner was just like Hitler, and it just, it was terrible. I was in pain, I was getting backaches, I was really uncomfortable, and one day I just left. That was it. I said, you know what, I didn't know what I was going to do, where I was going to go, and I was making really good money, and I was just a young kid at the time, but you know what, I was impulsive, and I decided, that's it. I don't know where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. And next thing you know, I kind of drove around and found some office space. And within 4 weeks, I had opened up my own place and never looked back and was really successful for another 7 years before getting married. So, but that was really relatively, there was no pause there. But maybe there was a pause, maybe internally, maybe I had been thinking, you know, I mean, I knew I wasn't happy, but to me, it seems like that was like, that's it, I'm done.
Yes, and I totally get that. So the two points I would make is, number one, as you said, I think that you probably were contemplating this for some time, and then finally something, you know, clicked and pulled the trigger. Which is fine. Number two, you know, we're speaking quite frankly in generalities, right?
Right.
As I said earlier, that you know, impulsivity and instant gratification as a general way of living your life, I don't think is a good thing.
Right.
Are there isolated circumstances where you may act that way and that works to your advantage? Certainly, right? There's no black and white rule out there.
Right.
But as a general rule, I think taking a step back and contemplating things is a better way of doing things. But if you are going to be impulsive, and let's say hypothetically, Francesca, that decision that you made, you know, had not worked out, well, that's okay on two fronts. Number one, as you admitted, you were young, right? And the time to make those mistakes, in my opinion, it's better to make those mistakes when you're young and can learn from them,
right?
As opposed to being my age and making a huge mistake, which I still do, by the way.
We all do.
Right, but I think that when you're young and you make mistakes, that's okay, because we have to be able to embrace failure. And I talk about this in the book as well, that embracing failure is a good thing. You know, instead of that failure being a setback, as we normally think of it, I think we have to change the paradigm and make that failure be a temporary step back, and then we can bounce forward and develop an obsession in a positive connotation to a bigger, larger goal, and learn from those mistakes that we made. So ultimately, our progression in life in any aspect, in my view, requires obsession, right? Which I'll transition over. The reason I say that is that's my mantra and why I wrote my second TEDx talk, which is called Unleashing the Drive Within, the Obsession Advantage to Unprecedented Success, which I gave earlier this year, and it has over 1.5 million views. And so it's changing the paradigm and the connotation of obsession from being an unhealthy fixation, the type of obsession that you would think of in a psychiatric sense, to a very positive connotation of obsession, whereby one has a passionate commitment toward a specific goal that you're working towards.
All right, we do need to take another short break. Do you feel like you have no control over your impulses? If so, you're going to want to stay with us here. We will be right back. More to come.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria's Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria's Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria's Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
The Power of Pause, Mastering Delayed Gratification for Success. That is the name of the book that we are discussing tonight with Dr. Emilio Justo. Welcome back to you. All right, let's see. You say that a lack of privilege is not an obstacle of success. Can you tell us something about obstacles that you had to overcome due to a lack of privilege?
Yeah, for me, Francesca, it was pretty much kind of the story we alluded to earlier, that I didn't have any privilege, right? I was an immigrant. My parents didn't have truly any money. They worked very, very hard. And so did I. And I feel that as an immigrant to the United States, you know, learning a second language, undergoing the, let's call it small amount of ridicule, maybe a little discrimination. I hate using that, that term. It sounds so negative. But but the reality of it is that in life there is a certain degree of discrimination. But that's okay. I mean, just because you don't have that privilege doesn't mean that you can't push forward, you can't have that perseverance and that resilience to move ahead in life. And so,
great. Well, sometimes privilege doesn't necessarily equal success either.
Correct.
Right? Sometimes it makes, like trust fund babies not know what to do with their lives.
Correct. Couldn't be any more correct on that. So I think, I know there are stories out there far, far more significant than mine, but I can only relate to my story since it's my life.
Right.
And I truly, truly in my heart of hearts feel that anyone in life, in such an incredible country like the United States, right? It's not like we're living in a strict communist regime or living in North Korea, where life may be a heck of a lot more difficult. But in the United States, we have so many opportunities lying in front of us that we just have to open our eyes, but we do have to work hard, right? We have to work hard, and we have to persevere. Those who work diligently will succeed. If one is a little bit on the lazy side, then
yep.
you're not as likely to succeed. And mm-hmm. so I truly believe that lack of privilege is not an obstacle mm-hmm. to success.
Well, I actually couldn't agree with you more. I just make it a very short story, but I was going to school to be a hairdresser, and a long, long, long time ago, and I decided halfway through it that I didn't want to do it. I wanted to quit, and I was working part-time as a cashier. You know, I was just a kid, 17, 18 years old, and so my father said, "Well, what do you think you're going to do then? What for work?" I said, "Well, I'm going to continue to work at the supermarket, and I'm going to get a job as a waitress. And so I'll work 20 hours a week as I have been doing at the supermarket, and another 20 hours as a waitress." He said, "Oh, uh-huh. And how are you going to get to these jobs?" I said, "Oh, well, Mom." He said, "No, Mom's not going to be your chauffeur." And he said, "You're going to have to buy her car from her." I'll never forget. This is a lot of years ago. "You're going to have to buy her car from her, and that's going to cost you $50 a week. And since you're going to be working basically full-time, then you're going to have to pay us $100 a month rent." Okay, that's fine. I didn't want to go back to school. That was it. I was, being rebellious, and that was the end of that. Well, after a couple weeks of waitressing, I decided that I didn't like it at all. And now what was I going to do? So my father came up with this idea that I would go to a community college to start, and that I would have to pay for my books, and he would pay for my education, and that I would continue to give him money for my mother's car. And you know what? That's the best lesson. I have told this story a million times in my life. At the time, it was like, "Ugh! I hate you." But you know what? He taught me responsibility and to think through my decisions. And I did not end up being the secretary that he had really wanted me to be, because in those days, he also, was sort of old school Italian. And you go to school, you be a secretary, you get married and have children. I had bigger aspirations than that, but nonetheless, at least there was some direction. But it really taught me responsibility and to work hard for what I wanted, and to think things through. And to this day, I'm very, very grateful for that lesson. And I'm glad that I didn't have anything handed to me, on a silver platter, because that's just, I don't think that it does anybody any, I don't think it does any kids any favors.
Yes, no, I mean, I think your father was brilliant. I mean, that's just...
Well, he wasn't really brilliant.
But
he was very good. He was very old school Italian, and
that's right.
Yeah, no,
that's right.
You're gonna, you're not gonna be, you're gonna be a waitress and a cashier. No daughter of mine is going to be a waitress and a cashier for the rest of her life. And if she is, and that's all you aspire to, well, then, you're going to have to see how hard that really is. And but it made me really think about what I wanted. But so my father was a wonderful mentor in my life. And speaking of mentors, you mentioned that you had many wonderful mentors in your past yourself. Was there anyone that stood out to you most? And if so, what did you learn from them?
Well, similar to you, truly, truly, my best mentors have been my parents, mm-hmm. I'm an only child, Francesca, mm-hmm. and as I say, growing up, we didn't have material things, but what I did have is I was just inundated with love and support and nurturing and just positivity. My mm-hmm. parents always encouraged me, mm-hmm. Even being immigrants. I mean, my father in Cuba owned a shoe store. My mother had her doctorate in education, as you know. Mm-hmm. But And then here we are in the United States. My father is working as a steel worker at U.S. Steel. My mother's teaching high school Spanish. So they're very, very middle class, you know, people in the United States. But they always encouraged me that I could do whatever I set my mind to do. And my grandparents equally as well. My grandparents were like my second set of parents to me growing up in my early years in Tarkio College, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So that was the nucleus and what really fed me in my life and gave me that encouragement and that drive. And I really credit every success in my life to them. Now, certainly once I became an adult and now in my more recent years in my professional career, I would actually say that my mentor is my wonderful wife. I mean, she's an incredible sounding block. She also has her doctorate in education, if you can imagine. Sometimes you marry who your mother is, right?
That's right.
But she's just a wealth of wisdom, and I can rely upon her to help me navigate through obstacles and challenges, and I can always rely upon her advice, and she's been right more often than I have.
Well, good. That's a good thing. What does delayed gratification do to your mind, if anything?
I just think it gives your mind a sense of sensibility, responsibility, just learning to slow your tendency towards quick reactions. I mean, I think it just calms one. I mean, that's the best way I think of saying it, is just the serenity of your mind, knowing that you don't have to achieve that today. You can work towards it today, certainly, but you don't have to have it today. If your mind is at peace, then the rest of your body can be at peace, and then you have more mental energy as well as physical energy to push forward to achieve whatever you want. But when your mind is stressed, you know, you got to have it now. Oh man, I got to do this. Oh, if I don't do this, I'm not going to be able to get that. And, you know, if there's this upheaval in your mind mentally, then it really inhibits your whole way of looking at things. It attacks your body physically, where you can't perform to the best degree possible. So I think that sense of serenity is a nice thing, and I really appreciate it so much more now in my life as I've gotten older. You know, when you're young, it's more challenging, right? You told the story about yourself, and I'm sure your mind wasn't at that level. And neither was mine, you know, at that
right.
age.
I wasn't saying, oh, thank you so much. Oh, I'm loving this lesson, Dad. No. I do have a little curveball here. You know, what would you say to those that know that they are not going to pause, that they are going to be impulsive, and that they know that they're going to basically sabotage whatever it is they're about to do, and yet they do it anyway?
Yeah, and there's plenty of those people out there. And what I would say to them is, okay, you know, you've set your mind to the instant gratification. That's fine, as long as you've thought out your choices, and that's the choice you're going to make. But then, as we discussed earlier, understand that if life throws you a curveball or you fail, that just learn from it. Again, just view it as a temporary step back, and then be willing to learn those lessons to move forward to the next phase of your life. But again, it's okay to make those mistakes, and especially if you're young. I would almost say go ahead and maybe...
Go ahead, be impulsive.
maybe not be impulsive, but I think a certain degree of risk-taking, as long as it's measured and you're thinking it through, I think risk-taking is a good thing to consider and to do in order to achieve certain things. I've always been maybe a little too much, because I also took a big risk about 20 years ago that I failed miserably at, but I've always been a risk taker, and I think in order to achieve high levels of success, however you want to define that, mm-hmm. you must be willing to take risks. So maybe that risk manifests to some degree in impulsivity, but that's okay as long as you learn from those mistakes.
Right.
And I've had to learn repeatedly on my mistakes.
Welcome to the club. I'm going to take our last break, and we will be coming into our last segment. So, and just to, a little bit to marinate on during the break, is I'd like to talk a little bit about your two TED Talks and what that all entailed. So listeners, stay with us here. More to come. You don't want to miss it.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back, and I'm speaking with Dr. Emilio Justo. He is the author of the number one best-selling Amazon book, The Power of Pause, Mastering Delayed Gratification for Success. Okay, then. So, your first TED Talk on delayed gratification has obviously been incredibly successful. What inspired you to choose this topic?
Well, the reason for that topic is, as I was referencing earlier, that I have my Cuban triad of self-discipline, resilience, and delayed gratification.
Yep.
And ultimately, I wanted originally who write on the entire triad.
Uh-huh.
But then as I started talking to other individuals and coaches and people in the TEDx world who were familiar with it, they said, look, you know, it's a great triad, but it's way too much to cover in a 10 to 12 minute talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they said just select one of the three.
Yep.
And I kind of pondered it, and I thought, well, you know, delayed gratification is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Yep.
And furthermore, as I also alluded to earlier, that with my three teenage kids, I wanted to impart upon them what I feel is the importance of delayed gratification as they are searching for instant gratification being teenagers.
Right.
So ultimately, that's how I selected that topic to be the first TEDx talk.
And what do you think resonated most with your audience?
I think just the fact that, you know, it's in my view, it's not a topic that is discussed very much. At least I haven't come across it that much. And so I think in hearing it, like I check the comments on YouTube, you know how when they watch videos, some people will leave comments, and,
right.
and I always respond back personally to any comments that are left.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just that shift in mindset, it's almost like a paradigm shift of pausing and thinking things through and delaying that immediate pleasure for a later, greater reward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many who viewed the video, and I don't know their ages, of course, but I suspect from their answers or from their comments that the ones commenting were a little bit more wiser and experienced and really appreciated what I was trying to instill into the audience. And so I think it was just a message that overall settled well with the viewers.
You know, I'm thinking of, practically speaking, what would help one with pausing. And you know, what comes to mind is doing art, right? Because when you're doing art, you have to step back and take a look and go, well, you don't have to, I guess, but I'm thinking about painting, at least for myself, I like to paint, and I want to take a look and see how the painting is coming along, and if the colors are starting to get too muddy, it's because I'm moving too fast, you know, rather than letting the color settle in and stepping back and seeing how it looks and it feels. And I think any form of art might be a practical way for someone to practice that pause. But I'm, you know, that's just my thoughts. I don't know what it, maybe you can come up with some kind of a suggestion, something practically speaking that will help those that are trying to maybe perfect the power of the pause.
I think, well, your example is a fantastic example. I will be the first to admit, Francesca, that I've never been into art in that sense, although many of my patients will say, oh, you know, you're an artist because of the great job you did on my eyelids or something like that.
Absolutely.
But that's you know, to me, that's a little bit different type of artistry than what you're describing. And so I never had that within me. But I think that, yes, either, you know, I think writing things out for me has been important.
Mm.
So whether it be writing out specific goals, even so much as writing out specific tasks for the day, and then after you write them out, after you just go do this mind dump and write out 10 or 15 things, then you go back and you pause and you go through and systematically prioritize what is most important, and then focusing on those most important things, which are usually the ones that are harder and more time intensive to do, but you really need to focus on them first.
Mm-hmm.
I also occasionally draw out a little, what I call a little mind map, and so I'll have a little whiteboard in my den, and sometimes I involve my wife, and we'll just sit there and just kind of dump out ideas and thoughts and things that we want to work on in the future, and then again, prioritize them. So that's kind of my way of doing it. I'm not saying that my way is the only way or is the best way. I think your idea has a lot of validity to it. It's just not something I've engaged in as far as painting and artwork.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just, you know, I've been painting for a long time, and I just remember that, you know, when I was really just learning and getting very excited because I love, love, love color, and I'd be slapping the paint on the canvas, and then the paint started getting muddy, and finally, and I remember the teacher saying, step back, just take a deep breath, and look at the painting, and maybe you might want to even leave it alone for a whole day. Maybe you might want to leave it alone for a couple days. And it really did teach me that power of pausing, and that, because you look at things differently too when you slow down.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think your concept is spot on, yeah. Whether you're painting or not. I think that's why I said earlier that if you have an urge to have something instantly now, but if you just stop and pause and let your mind kind of digest it over several days, over a week, mm-hmm. when you go back to revisit that thought, that idea, that instant urge, mm-hmm. most of the time it changes, and you may go in a different direction. You may feel that, oh, you don't really need it. You don't need to, if it's a purchase or an acquisition, oh, you don't really need to spend that money on that. Let's go in a different direction. So just putting the brakes sometimes and letting your mind kind of reacclimate to things by waiting a day, a week, it's all good. I think we should all just learn to do that.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Husto, for being on our show tonight. Listeners, the name of the book is called The Power of Pause, Mastering Delayed Gratification for Success, A Blueprint for Resilience and Enduring Fulfillment. It is a number one Amazon bestseller. I encourage you to pick it up. And again, Dr. Husto, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you, Francesca.
Oh, thank you. If you missed part of this show, you can hop on over to my iTunes page and listen there or on Spotify, and we will see you next week, same time, same place.